Well, it looks like this is the week to talk about education. It's Charter Schools Week, it's Teacher Appreciation Week, and it's commencement season. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. We're going to look at some newly expanded public education alternatives today. Our phone number statewide and toll-free is 1-800-478-8255-478-TALK. A local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk@alaskapublic.org. Charter and correspondence schools and your favorite teacher are the subject today on Talk of Alaska statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by Providence Imaging Center, offering 3D mammography since January 2014, technology that helps the radiologist detect breast cancer. Learn more at provimaging.com. May is National Bike Safety Month. Alaskans are riding their bikes to school, work, and play. Motorists, be on the lookout for bikes and pedestrians. Bicyclists, follow the rules of the road. All riders should wear a fitted helmet and use reflectors and safety lights to be seen no matter what time of day. Go to injuryprevention.alaska.gov for safety tips. This message sponsored by the Alaska Highway Safety Office and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Well, there's a lot to talk about in this program, a lot of information to get across, and if you have questions, the number once again is 1-800-478-8255. Statewide, and one of our guests will be with us for a limited period of time, so you may want to make sure you get to the phone in time to get your question in. And I'm also asking people to just call up and tell us about a teacher that they might have had that they would like to say today, because it's Thank Your Teacher Day today, that they would like to say thank you to. Doesn't matter that that teacher is listening or not listening, it's almost beside the point. It's the story of why it was that you want to thank that teacher that's important to us. 1-800-478-8255. Statewide, toll-free. With us by telephone from out in the Mat-Su Valley is Becky Huggins, principal of the American Charter Academy. Becky, welcome to Talk of Alaska. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
How are things going? What kind of a school day is today at the Academy?
Well, besides it being a very rainy day with the lights flickering, we are having a great day today. We're at K-12 and focused on high academics, and we are just doing great. We had our Trail of Remembrance 5K this Saturday. It was a huge success, so everyone is still just on that high.
And you have a team of how many people at that school in terms of teachers?
We have 20 staff members.
Now, you were telling me that this was essentially a team that was running a public school that turned it into a charter school?
Yes, this is our fourth year, finishing up our fourth year as a charter school. And it is, I would say, our huge success started about the end of the first year into being a charter school. Things have just clicked, and we have just been improving every year.
I like that huge success, and I want to go back to that. But I want to introduce our second guest. He's been on the show before, and he was a commissioner of education, I think, with the Hickel administration.
That's
right?
Correct.
Mr. Jerry Covey, welcome to Talk of Alaska, Jerry.
Thank you, Steve. I'm very pleased to be here.
Jerry, I'm glad you could make the time. I know you have a lot of experience in rural Alaska, even all the way up into northwest Alaska, right?
That is correct. I spent 15 years in northwest Arctic area working for the school district up there.
So now you're running JSC Consulting, LLC, and you're very much promoting the idea of residential education.
Yes, actually, my business does a lot of work with education, K-12 and higher education, and I've been focusing since about 2010 on looking at rural education options for students that are attending small high schools. And as a result of that, I've been promoting some, working with other organizations to promote some changes, and we're starting to see some very, very positive changes.
Well, what I've noticed, like, I know, let's take Edgecombe, it's been around forever.
Sure.
And they chose to kind of create a specialized education opportunity kind of in the in the cyber area. Computer kids is what I call it. Mm-hmm. And this is stuff that you couldn't necessarily get at your rural school that kids could choose, right?
Right.
And so is that the idea that to do a residential school, you need to like have something to offer that can't be obtained elsewhere?
Exactly, and that's why we have them. Even though we do have technology that we're using increasingly to deliver education to students in small rural high schools or small rural schools, the opportunities that you have when you have a larger student body, what we call critical mass, are far greater than anything that you can deliver in a very small school. And so that's the rationale behind these schools, and that's one of the reasons they work as well as they do.
Yeah, when I think about when did I really learn, it was when I was really motivated.
Mm-hmm.
So often, if there's a club that's centered on academic achievement even, then you have people that you're competing against. You have a set of peers, and pretty soon you're ferociously playing chess or, you know, reading or whatever it is because you're motivated.
That's exactly the case. Having a cohort of students to work with is absolutely critical. And we find that when we bring students together in larger groups, we have more infrastructure to provide them with learning opportunities, the competition, the ability to have partners to work with. All of those things add up to a better learning opportunity for students.
Turning back to Becky Huggins out there in the valley, what do you think accounts for the success of your American Charter Academy?
Well, I kind of have to tag on with Jerry there because the cohort is very successful in the charter school. We have families that stay with us, and they are used to our routine. They know what we deliver. They know what they're looking for, and they just stay with us, you know, throughout. And it's the same kids that stay with you as they go through the grade levels and grow up. So they're very interesting that they're very similar.
And you're getting a good grad rate?
Yes, we are. We have... This year, we only have 4 seniors, which is kind of a crazy thing. Because what we're doing is we've decided that we cannot recreate all these great options that our district has put out there for high school students. And so one of the ones that we're very excited about is the Alaska Middle College that the district has created, which allows kids to finish their high school while they're still having the opportunity to get 2 years of college under their belt, which would, you know, they would leave high school with an associate's degree. So we are preparing kids if they want to go that path so that they're ready to make that leap as a 10th grader. The Career Tech High School that our district has is another fabulous opportunity. And so we have lots of kids that go through 8th grade and then apply for the Career Tech High School and get in, and they go that route. And then we also have a very good high school opportunity for kids that aren't looking for those options that stay with us.
Now, what does a person come out of the school with? Do they come with your basic? I mean, you still have to kind of test out, right?
Or you mean if they graduate from American Charter Academy?
Yeah.
We are promised to students and families is if they follow the program and that they will leave here qualifying for the Alaska Scholarship, which is a huge event that Governor Parnell put in place a couple years ago that we just think is an unbelievable opportunity for kids all through the state. And so we are definitely taking advantage of that.
Wow. Okay, we're talking to Becky Huggins, who probably won't be able to stay with us all the way through the program. So I want to rocket ahead now to the recent legislation by the legislature, because it is complicated. And I would rarely hear anything about what they were saying about charter or residential schools, and yet I understand that they did make some changes that are going to facilitate the possibility of forming and advancing charter schools. So I wanted you to tell me what might be changing now.
Probably one of the biggest changes that was made in that law was the change to the application process. And so startups or applicants that get turned down by their school district and the school board has the opportunity to appeal to the commissioner now. And he, in turn, has the right to either remand it back to the local school board for further review. He can approve it, or he can deny it. And then the applicant still could appeal it to the Board of Education if they so desire.
Jerry Covey, what do you think of that innovation as a former commissioner?
I think it's a positive innovation. What we're seeing is an increased interest, well, significant interest, as we mentioned earlier, on the part of the consumers, the public, for different options for schooling. And we're also finding that some school districts control very tightly the charter school application process and the number of charter schools they have in the district. And so I think this is a way of broadening the opportunity for charter schools to be created and to operate.
You know, what I'm thinking of is, I can get it, for instance, if I'm thinking of making some improvements to my home,
mm-hmm.
and then I have to go down to code enforcement, and I would dread doing that, because from my point of view, the innovative housing techniques and so forth that I'm most interested in is the very things they're most likely to say no to.
Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. And so is that what you're telling me, that school districts, you know, might just get in a mindset of looking for reasons not to instead of reasons to?
Well, it's about they're looking for at control issues. And those are the types of things that dissuade or discourage people oftentimes from moving forward with these types of programs. And so by broadening the opportunity, there are fewer controls, there's more opportunity. There's still a significant application process that ensures that charter schools that are approved either at the local or state level are quality programs and have all the right ingredients to get off to a good start. But nonetheless, some school districts, for a variety of reasons, seem to be limiting the number of charter schools that are created.
And I understand nationwide, according to the Alliance for Charter Schools, there is more than 1 million people waiting to get into charter schools right now across the country.
Yes, I think Becky could probably speak better to that than I, but I do know that there are a number of people looking for new opportunities, new options. We've reached the point where we've come to the realization that one size doesn't fit all in terms of public education.
So, Becky, maybe you could tell me how it is that you managed to launch this charter school, and that might tell us a bit right there.
Well, I will not lie. You have to be very tenacious to on any venture, whether you're talking charter school or anything else. It's just, you know, you have to have a stick-to-itiveness that you don't just take the first no and say, oh, darn, call it a wrap. But the application is pretty straightforward. It's right there on the website, and you pull it down, and you just methodically read through it and go through, get your group together and decide if people are willing to put the time and effort into it that it takes to get something off the ground. It isn't easy, and it shouldn't be easy. I mean, what you are proposing will affect a certain number of kids and families, I mean, drastically. And for the same reason that there should be charter schools is the same reason that those charter schools should be good, is because you can't get back those years that kids are in a bad situation. So, I'm excited that potential of more charter schools out there, because I think then you are catering to what works best for a certain entity of kids. And every charter school isn't going to work. It isn't a, okay, this one's working, so let's just replicate that everywhere. Because it's working because it is listening to its group of families.
I think also part of it is the team that, you know, the team that does the teaching. I mean, I think, Becky, you have to be kind of a team leader. The way you explained it to me, it's pretty obvious that this was basically the team that was running a school that then went over and created the charter school.
Oh, yes. Yes, we have a fabulous team here. And, you know, they have a fabulous team at Academy Charter, which is on the other side of the valley. And they've been together also. I mean, that is very key. You don't have a lot of ins and outs. You do. You have some ins and outs. You have retirement. You have family issues that cause people to have to change their plans. But for the most part, people have to want to go be part of a charter school. It's not the easy road. It's not easy street. Folks don't work in a charter school because they don't have to put in hard hours, because they do.
So with the Mat-Su School District, how did it work to build your relationship? Did you have a, is it pretty much the superintendent that's in control of that, or does this get to the board, or how did that work?
The actual application process goes through the district, but the approval lies with the school board, and that is who you're making your contract with. And I just have to say that we are very fortunate in the Mat-Su out here, because the Mat-Su School District, Dr. Paramo, Susan Palfer, who is the school board president, they're all about school choice. They're all about taking care of all the students and all the families, however that happens to be, whether it's charter correspondence, career tech, whatever. They are in support of that, which is fabulous, because you don't find that all over the place. And the changes that were in the education bill that was passed this last legislative session that we're talking about will benefit. There will be some benefits, you know, throughout all throughout the state. But the targets aren't necessarily out here at Mat-Su, because a lot of the things that they made in law, they're already in effect out here. So, I mean, we are very fortunate.
Very interesting. We're speaking with Becky Huggins of American Charter Academy out in the Mat-Su Valley, and our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255-478-TALK. A local call from Anchorage at 550-8422, but let's say you're out in some rural school district and you're interested in the possibility of a charter school in your area. What would it take? Probably Becky is a good resource person for you if you would like to call and talk with her, and she'll only be with us for another 10-15 minutes. We also have with us Jerry Covey, a former Alaska Commissioner of Education, who will be talking a little bit more about the residential high school situation. I asked listeners to chime in on why they wanted to thank a particular teacher, and they've been doing that by email. And your call is welcome at 478-8255. I wanted to tell mine, which was would have to be Prof. Lewis. He was a college professor that became a high school algebra teacher for family reasons. And so he taught Algebra 1, and I aced it. And I want to thank Prof. Lewis right here and now for flunking me in Algebra 2, because I was slacking. I was one of these people that could get an A pretty easily, and instead I slacked a little bit too much on Algebra 2, and he just upped and flunked me. And that told me something. Mm-hmm. It took some guts for him to do that. He knew I was not living up to my potential. and it's that backbone that I admire about him, that he would do that. So, Jerry Covey, why don't you give me one? Maybe you got a teacher you'd like to thank.
Well, I had a teacher in high school. I think I was a freshman who urged me on. He saw a lot of promise in me. I was kind of a middling student. I wasn't working quite as hard as I could, but he encouraged me greatly to do more. And it was probably the first time a teacher really went that length to be supportive and encouraging for me. So I'm very thankful for that.
Encouragement can do a lot for a young person.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not necessarily all that sure of themselves.
That's correct.
Or knowing that they might be good at something.
Right.
But right. It can be overdone also, I think.
Well, I think false encouragement or encouraging people when they're not performing or giving them high marks that they don't deserve is works against students and against the system ultimately. So it has to be real.
How about you, Becky Huggins? Can you tell us about a teacher you would like to thank today?
Oh, yes. I had, I grew up in Kearney, Nebraska, and there was a couple. Mr. Gerhardt taught algebra, and Mrs. Gerhardt taught high school English, and they were two tough teachers. And he had Lou Gehrig's disease, so his writing was extremely shaky, and it was very hard to read, but he wanted to be in his class because everyone that was in his class knew algebra. I mean, it was just one of those things. Didn't matter how long you waited for him to get something out. He was just a fabulous person, and his wife was just the same in English. I was very fortunate, very blessed to have them as two of my key teachers.
Mm, thank you. Nathaniel says, the teacher that made a difference in my life was Mr. Rizzo, a teacher from upstate New York. He stopped what he was doing, preparing for class, to ask if I wanted to eat breakfast with him one day. He realized that I was not having a good day and took the time to find out what was going on and why I needed some extra help. Just taking that extra 5 minutes made a huge difference in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Telling me that I was worth his time and a great asset to his life made all the difference. He's a great man and led me to become the person I am today.
Great.
Beautiful. Thanks, Nathaniel. That's wonderful. 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Yeah, you know, Prof. Lewis used to, I didn't realize at the time that math teachers don't always do this, but, you know, he would tell us the Fibonacci series. He gave us Avogadro's number. He told us the story of Tycho Brahe. he went on and on, the nature of pi. And, you know, meanwhile, also having to do the algebra, that's the part I had the problem with. I mean, that theory stuff I was great on. But, math, language skills. Yeah, go ahead, Becky.
Well, I want to go back a little bit when you were talking about potential charter schools out in the bush areas, in the rural areas.
Yeah.
And a couple changes in the state law, when it gets signed, I should say, is the fact that they lowered the number that needed to be in a charter school for it to be a school site for funding. So it's lowered down to 75 from 120. It would help the smaller areas being able to put together a school where they could get funding adequate to, you know, actually have a school. And there was another thing I was going to say, too, that I...
You lost it right now?
Ed, sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
I could jump in on that, Steve,
sure,
for just a moment. If we look at that number of 75, in rural Alaska, the large schools are in the hub communities. I mean, basically, we're looking at Barrow, Kotzebue, Nome, Bethel being the largest areas out there. And all of those high schools are 150-plus students. Some are up around 300. 300. In communities of that size, it's viable potentially to have to round up 75 students look toward developing a charter school. You still have the challenges of infrastructure because availability of facilities. Although it's a challenge in an urban area, it's a greater challenge in a rural area because there just aren't that many vacant buildings, as we know, out there. So while it's possible, it's still a pretty steep hill to climb to organize and move forward. It's not impossible, but once you get beyond that to the smaller communities, it does become almost impossible because we have many, many communities that don't have 75 students total. So in fact, there's probably over 100 schools who don't have 75 students in them, well over 100.
Yeah.
That's kind of my quick take on charter schools in rural Alaska.
It really shows you that 120 was it, or 150?
Yes, 120.
120. That's almost impossible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this makes it a little bit less impossible.
Yes.
I agree with you on that, but I also say that charter schools don't have to all be in one community. That they may want to, I mean, charter schools may not be the answer at all out there at all. But if it is, they might want to look at it a little more innovatively and see if maybe it's something that they do area-wide to come up with those 75 to make it a site. Or maybe they don't even want to worry about hitting the 75 if they're wanting to actually look at a certain topic.
Yeah, I think UPete School District showed that you can accomplish that.
Mm-hmm. Right, by creating their own.
There's a number of different communities, and they all agree on a certain educational philosophy and start pooling resources and so forth.
Right, and they created their own school district,
right.
Basically.
Yeah.
What we're seeing, in fact, if we look at our some of our rural residential high schools, they are very similar to charters. I mean, they have a specific curriculum. They serve a specific clientele. Many of the characteristics are the same as you would see in a charter school in a more urban setting.
Our telephone number, 1-800-478-8255, and Sean joins the program from Juneau. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Sean.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've been listening to your program with a considerable amount of interest because I have a son here in Juneau who goes to the Juneau Community Charter School.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to say that it's been an extremely positive experience for us. They're differentiated from the regular Juneau schools primarily by their constructivist curriculum, which is not something that you would have a chance to do in the regular schools, and also by their much smaller class sizes and by the fact that the charter school actually requires parental involvement. The parents serve as volunteers and do a number of duties, recess monitors, lunch monitors, so that the school can choose to spend their money on hiring the best teachers and keeping the class size down. There's very few things that have a more positive influence on the outcome of your students than having a better pupil-to-teacher ratio.
Wow, yeah, I think Becky would echo that, right?
Yes. It's kind of interesting how everyone uses the parent involvement a little differently. It's out there for any charter school to use it in their own description. Our parent involvement is we want to make sure that parents make sure their kids get their homework done and they are fed and ready to go and come prepared.
I would bet, yeah. Sean, anything more?
Yeah, I'd have to say that the decrease in the funding formula for the required class size is actually beneficial, not just the small town schools, but to ours as well. Even though we're in the capital city, we didn't have 120 students before. And although the physical facility, you know, because we're located in a kind of an elderly building downtown Juneau, that's not really what makes a school a great school, is having, you know, a great gym and a fancy paint job. It's really the quality of your teachers, the size of your class, and the ability to have that flexibility and that adaptability to tailor your education to the needs of the individual student. And thanks for the chance to talk on your program.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, what you say constructivist, what is that?
Well, for example, instead of just teaching a kid, this is the Pythagorean theorem, just memorize it.
And right. Have
them work it out from first principles. So it makes it a little challenging sometimes in the math classes, you know, but you have to basically work out how to do things yourself instead of just being spoon-fed, you know, this is this, memorize it. I think it makes it easier for kids to remember it in the long run.
Yeah. Oh, I know just what you're talking about, and the Pythagorean was a really great illustration. Because that'll take you almost anywhere. It takes you to the golden section. It gives you pi. It's all over the place.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Like the flexibility I was talking about, my son is in a mixed fourth, fifth grade classroom right now. He's actually in the Algebra 1 class because he was far enough ahead of most of his fellows in the fourth grade that he's actually working with the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth graders. So that he can get math at the level that he is capable of handling.
Wow, so that probably is an adaptation that would be difficult for your bigger public schools to do also.
Well, I'll tell you, we were at a different school in the Juneau District last year, and it did not work at all well from that perspective. They do not have anywhere near the flexibility that the smaller schools do, and the charter school has been more than willing to work with us on that. And for that, we're actually quite happy.
Sean and Juneau, thanks for the charter school success story.
All right.
And Sean, so, this is Becky. Next time I'm in Juneau, I would love to come visit.
Yeah, like I said, it's in the downtown around 3rd Street. Not a very impressive physical plant, but the fancy building is not what makes a good school.
I agree.
All right. Thank you. Becky, can you hang with us for a little while yet?
A little bit longer, uh-huh.
All right, as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from First National Bank Alaska, helping Alaska's business dreams grow for more than 90 years. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Alaska Mental Health Trust beneficiaries are important members of our workforce. From healthcare facilities and nonprofit organizations to retail stores and restaurants, Alaskans who are in recovery or experience developmental disabilities, traumatic brain injuries, or mental health conditions are succeeding in the workplace. The Trust encourages businesses to consider ways in which employing trust beneficiaries can be good for business. Learn more at mhtrust.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Mental Health Trust.
We're talking about education alternatives today on Talk of Alaska, and Rocky joins the program from up in Buckland. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Rocky.
Good morning. This is Rocky. I'm calling from Buckland once again. I just wanted to say this morning, and Ray, I know this is talk, thank your teacher, but back in years ago when I was in school, my principal sat me down in his office and talked with me. But the point I'm trying to get at is for children that are in school nowadays, you know, it's very hard to try to get some work without your education. So I want to encourage all the children, whether it be nationwide or just here in Alaska, wherever it is that you get your education, because it is very important that you have your education to find a job nowadays, and that's just basically what my principal tried to talk to me about, and I just didn't listen, so I just want to make that point out, and I thank you all for having me on the air today.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rocky, for having the guts to call. Becky Huggins, I wanted to take this up with you. This comes from Doug, who says, it seems like one of the major benefits to your secondary students is the access they have to the many varied options of the nearby larger public secondary schools. Does your charter school pay the regular school some funds for access to those specialized programs, or how does that work?
No, we're talking about that they would actually enroll in those schools. So we, for the ones that are wanting to go to the the Alaska Middle College School or the ones that are trying to go to Career Tech High School or one of the other high schools in the district. What we offer them is a very strong foundation so that they are more than prepared when they go there.
And you're kind of encouraging, you said, the sort of advanced placement where in 10th grade you can actually start boosting your way right into higher education, right?
That's the, I was talking about the middle college.
Uh-huh.
And so they take 11th and 12th graders. So while they're your last 2 years of high school, you're also taking college classes to complete your high school and get your as much as your associate's degree as you possibly can get done, obviously for the kids that are at that skill level. And so that's, we start working with our seventh graders and their families deciding on which path they're taking of the multiple paths that they can take for high school. And the ones that are wanting to take advantage of the middle college, our goal is to get them as completed with their high school classes as possible by the time they're done with their 10th grade year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jerry Covey?
Well, in terms of, looking at these types of opportunities, what we're seeing is the same types of programming happening in residential schools. There's one opening next year in Kotzebue, actually, that goes serves students in grades 11 through 14. It will be a statewide residential school. And because Kotzebue has Chukchi College, which is a UAF rural campus, and it also has the Alaska Technical Center right there in town. The three of the Kotzebue High School and those other two schools combined to create this amazing program for students grades 11 through 14. They're focused on folks who want to go into education careers, culinary arts careers, process technology, which is industry primarily, and healthcare. And they selected those because they're all rural career areas. But we're seeing many of these residential programs are very specialized like that, and so they're really set up to prepare students and to get them as far as their associate's degree in terms of preparing them for work. So it's quite amazing, really.
Yeah, well, that sounds like choice to me.
It is choice.
Let's go to Jay, joins the program from Anchorage. Oops, I guess we lost Jay. Well, let's go on up to Palmer then, and Ann, welcome to... What do we got? Are we okay? Hello, Ann and Palmer. How are you doing?
Hi, this is Annie, and I want to thank you for having me on the show this morning. And I wanted to do a little shout-out to the principal and the staff of the Fort Yukon School. And the principal there is Debbie Van Dyke, and she has been inspirational to me, as I understand, as I work through with the school, and I understand what it's like to teach and work in a rural environment in Alaska. And those teachers in that school do a wonderful job, and I'm a retired principal and teacher myself, and I know oftentimes teachers don't hear when they don't hear those words of appreciation from students and families. So I just wanted to take a chance to say thank you to all that staff at Fort Yukon School and the district office, Yukon Flats School District. Thanks for doing the hard work that you do.
Thank you, Annie. Thanks for the shout out. And sounds like we're getting a lot of principal appreciation here, and I'll take that up with you, Becky Huggins. Do you ever have to do the kind of thing that Rocky was talking about, where it's legendary to the troublemaking student to have to go to the principal's office? But I never really think too much about the talk that might take place there. There must be some pretty interesting talks you've had over the years.
Yes. There's been lots of interesting talks, lots of heart-wrenching talks.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll get the shout-out yet here. we've got Susan joining the program from Palmer. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Susan.
Hello. Thanks for this program. I've really enjoyed all I've heard. And I wanted to especially thank, in Palmer, the Palmer Junior Middle School. the staff and teachers. I have a granddaughter I'm helping raise that's going, and she's going to graduate eighth grade soon this year. It's been phenomenal to see her go through that school. I've enjoyed it immensely, what I've seen, the services she's gotten and all the other students have gotten, and some of the very hardworking teachers, very hardworking. And I'd also like to remember the schools in Fairbanks. There was another family member who went to that school, and I hope it's still in existence. It happened that they did deal with students who had children. It was a student who maybe the girl had gotten pregnant, and school age girl in high school. She was able to bring the baby with her, attend school, and sometimes even the fathers had the children. We're talking about the teenagers. They took them and the children through their school year, and that, I think, is a phenomenal program. I love charter schools. I love to hear about some of the missions they have. I'd also like to really applaud this school for the mission they had, getting these kids through school and helping with the children. The children were taken care of during the day there, and the families, the mothers, the young mothers, the fathers, could be with them and create a real environment of learning, I think. That, to me, was great. So I thank these people from the bottom of my heart, and that's really all I've got to say. Thank you for this opportunity to do that.
Great, and thanks for your call, Susan. This one from Ginger, by email from Fairbanks. She said, look, I work in a public school, but my kids go to charter school. And one thing I've noticed is we have a PA system in the school I work in, and it's quite annoying and distracting. Whereas in the charter school, they don't. You got a PA system there, Becky, at your school?
No, we are in, I kind of laughed when Sean was talking about his old building in downtown Juneau, because we are in a strip mall out north of Wasilla, where we've taken over and, painted and et cetera, about six different business suites put together, and kids walk outside to get to the next room. And no, we do not have a PA system. We don't have a bell system. We don't have lockers. We don't have hallways, so I don't have to worry about any of the antics that kids do at lockers. You know, there's no delays getting to class.
Yeah.
Do you, the question come up from several of the emails here. I was browsing and they bring up the same thing. Isn't there a danger that the charter schools are like high grading the better students, or could easily high grade better students and leave all the problem ones in the regular public school system? Okay, go ahead, Jerry.
Well, that's an issue that comes up often with rural residential high schools, and it's a long-standing issue, and it's kind of been a sore spot with rural school districts, especially rural superintendents who lose students to residential schools. And in fact, some of that does occur, but not entirely. Some of these residential schools are taking in students who are not the high flyers, who are actually struggling to get through high school, and they're having great success with them as well. And you know, the fact that we have about 700 students in full-year residential high schools, and we have 700 more in variable-length short-term programs around the state. So that's quite a few students out of small rural high schools. And we must remember that it's their parents. The students and their parents are making those decisions because they believe that's what's in their best interest. And as Becky said earlier, there's only one opportunity to go through school. And, you know, the more options we can provide students, the better. And secondary public education exists, you know, not to keep your school the same size, not to keep control of things. It exists to deliver the best possible education to the student, one that will prepare them for their future. And if residential schools are part of that mix, which they certainly are based on demand, then I think they have an appropriate place in our system.
Let's go now to Megan, joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Megan.
Hi, thanks, Steve. Great topic. I will say from the beginning here, I am just a charter school mom, and only in a year and a half in a charter school system. When I first put my daughter in the lottery, and that's where, in terms of the question that was just asked, is there an advantage, economically advantaged versus disadvantaged, or wayward kids versus on-track kids, it's a lottery system in the Anchorage School District. And so you put your child's name in, and your child may or may not be chosen. And the economics don't have anything to do with it. It's just knowledge of whether the programs actually exist out there. But I'm a charter school mom at Aquarian Charter School. And you mentioned early on, Steve, wait lists. And at Aquarian, for 380 students in the school, the wait list is over 800 students.
Holy mackerel.
And I think, as a mom, I love it. And that doesn't include kindergarten and the lottery going into kindergarten. It's 800 for first to sixth grade plus.
What do they know? What's the secret? Why do all these parents want their kids in this school?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, it's not the building. It's a condemned ASD building.
So, I hear that over and over again.
As we've heard from other parents and from other others throughout the state, the building, quite frankly, has nothing to do with it. There are buckets when it rains, and even when it doesn't rain, when there's snow melt, there are buckets in the hallways. You can't touch the school to renovate it because the whole school would have to be shut down because it's got so many issues. It's essentially portables, which are connected by a ramp. But within it, the highly qualified teachers, the unbelievable teachers, are given that freedom to teach as they see fit for the students in that classroom. And so at Aquarian, I believe it's the individualized learning. If your child goes into kindergarten and can read chapter books, it's a group of kids who can read chapter books, and they are there doing and they're challenged at their level. At the same time, the child who doesn't know the letter A can learn and be challenged up to his or her level. And then at the same time, we have math blocking at Aquarian. So at 10 o'clock in the morning, every student gets up, and they either go up or down or remain in their classroom, but they are at a point where they can say, you know what, I'm in first grade, but I can do third grade math, so I'm going to go to the third grade math classroom. Or I'm in third grade, but I can only do second grade math, so that's going to challenge me. I'll go to the second grade math classroom. And there's no stigma because everybody moves, essentially.
Wow. Oh, man.
And so from 10 until 11:15, for an hour and 15 minutes, these kids are challenged at the level they can, and then we do it because we have that flexibility within our budget, mm-hmm. and within our curriculum that the parents and teachers design. And so the gym teacher, he's qualified to teach math. Gym teacher teaches math. Librarian teaches math. Art teacher teaches math. Music teacher teaches math. Everybody does math from 10 to 11:15. And I think that has a lot to do with it because they see the results.
This is just crazy. Just crazy. Thank you so much, Megan, for your call.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Becky, I'm sure you've got to go by now. You got any parting words?
Oh, my goodness. I have enjoyed talking with you today, and I would be glad to talk with anyone that is wanting more information or is interested in charter school.
All right. Thanks so much for taking the time, Becky Huggins. And thanks for being with us as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station. If you're ready to quit tobacco or just thinking about it, the coaches at Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line, a free service for all Alaska adults, can support you with Text to Quit, with tools to make your quit attempt successful. Text to Quit helps you stay in touch with your quit coach, use nicotine replacement medications properly, manage those urges to use tobacco, and prevent relapses, all from your mobile phone. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. This message sponsored by the Alaska Tobacco Control Alliance.
We're talking alternative public education opportunities here. And my heavens, it's just been an absolute bonanza here with Becky Huggins. Becky Huggins, who has left us, but is the principal of American Charter Academy, and Jerry Covey, former Alaska Commissioner of Education, now an educational consultant and real big on the residential schools. So you were talking about the Kotzebue setup.
Right, right. The Kotzebue setup is one of several. There's another one in Bethel that's very specialized. Excuse me.
Yes, go right ahead, and we'll get Alex ready to go in another call.
The one in Bethel is aimed at preparing students for ANSEP, the program here in Anchorage. There's one in Nome that is a short-term variable length, it's called. Their courses are 1, 2, 3, or 4 weeks, and they serve Nome and Bering Strait School District. They send 400 students a year from that region through this, and it's a career and technical education program. That's another one. There's one, a variable length program here in Anchorage that's called the Voyage to Excellence. It's operated by Chugach School District. They serve about 260 kids or so per year from 10 rural districts. The kids come in, short-term programs. They have fantastic data. Since 2003 to the current time, they have graduated 98% of the students who go through their program. It's a phenomenal statistic.
It
is. 92% of those students either go in the military, get a job, or go to college. And they do not take just the high flyers. Many of these students that come into their program are struggling to meet the graduation requirements. So it's a very effective program.
Do you think this is going to, you know, I'm hearing a lot of talk about vocational this, vocational that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, what about the scientists of tomorrow? You know, what about the engineers of tomorrow? What about the scholars, the artists of tomorrow?
That's right.
You know? I mean, I'm just wondering if maybe that's something we're losing track of.
Well, if we look at our urban districts, our big three districts, Fairbanks, Mattsu, and Anchorage, have over 60% of the high school students in those three districts. And they all have access to specialty high schools, career and technical education high schools, which are wonderful schools. They have access to the university system. They have access to private sector, post-secondary vocational training programs as well. When we look at rural students, they do not have at the local level access to those types of opportunities. These rural residential high schools are what are the equivalent for those students, whether they're preparing to go to college or they're career focused. So the students who want to become the artists of the future, the scientists, the engineers, those are the options for them. Because we have a tremendous number of very small high schools in rural Alaska. We have over 70 high schools that have 10 or fewer students in them.
Good old Molly Hooch.
The old Molly Hooch. And that equates to about one teacher, generally. And to expect one teacher, no matter how good they are, to have all those preparations and prepare students in all of those different areas that they need a quality education in, is asking a tremendous amount, which is one of the reasons we have high turnover in rural Alaska. People burn out. But when we bring these students together, and their success rates go up dramatically. If we look at off-the-road high schools in rural Alaska, generally they're graduating about 50% of their students in 4 years. If we look at on-the-road high schools, they're graduating about 75% of their students. When we put students, rural students, in these residential high schools, they jump right up into the 70s, 80s, and 90s in terms of their graduation rate. So clearly, when we connect these students with opportunity, it changes their lives considerably.
Alex joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Alex.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on the program.
Yes, sir.
What I'm calling to talk about is Girdwood Elementary School is a wonderful school, and then they don't have a high school in Girdwood. So what happens is they come to Anchorage for high school, and I was personally talking to people in Girdwood about growth of Girdwood and so and such and so forth. And what they were saying to me is that what happens is when people get out of the elementary school and they get into the school system here in Anchorage, that a lot of families, by convenience, move away from Girdwood to Anchorage because it's easier to bring their children in. What I am calling about is a challenge to anybody to start a charter ski school in Girdwood.
Oh, man, so, I love the idea.
I grew up in Vermont where we have, it's littered with private prep schools that are ski schools at their particular mountains, where they go to class until about 11:30 in the morning, and then they train and ski for the rest of the day. And there's so much talent in Girdwood academically and with their skiing that I can't believe that there's not a charter school to support that.
Wow. Fabulous idea, Alex. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. And this one from Katie says, hey, look, there's no bus service to charter schools in Anchorage, so those with no car or an inflexible job are not allowed to attend charter schools. Those families who have no car or are generally poor. Those families who can't take time off work or change the work schedule to drive their children to school are generally poor children. So to say that poor children have equal opportunities at charter schools is not to understand what it is to be poor. I can't really argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. We had one question here, and maybe it's not fair to you, Jerry, but they addressed it to you, and they said, how come there's a vast gap between numbers of students who start in Mount Edgecombe and Nenana in September and how few who remain there in May of the following year?
Oh, that's a good question. There's a number of reasons students return
home. Can
you
do it in a minute?
Okay. Sometimes it's behavior. Sometimes it's homesickness. I know Mount Edgecombe, I do have the data on them. They have about almost a 15% dropout rate or return rate back to their villages. They're not necessarily dropping out. Sometimes parents want the students back home. I mean, there are many reasons. So that is a higher dropout rate. Residential programs create different circumstances for students. And because of that, we experience a higher dropout rate. But at the same time, you have to look at the flip side. We're getting a tremendous return in terms of student success, far, far, far greater than we get in small rural high schools.
All right. Jerry Covey, I want to thank you so much for being with mm-hmm. us on the program. It was great to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right, and best of luck in all that.
Thank you very much.
At our age. It's Talk of Alaska. I want to thank Josh Edge, Tristan Sammons, and Monica Goki today. And I'm Steve Heimel. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network and by ConocoPhillips, investing in oil and gas production and creating jobs and business opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. May is National Bike Safety Month. Alaskans are riding their bikes to school, work, and play. Motorists, be on the lookout for bikes and pedestrians. Bicyclists, follow the rules of the road. All riders should wear a fitted helmet and use reflectors and safety lights to be seen no matter what time of day. Go to injuryprevention.alaska.gov for safety tips. This message sponsored by the Alaska Highway Safety Office and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.